this is about cycles of life, which is what we are all involved in. This is a season, as we all know, a season of our holidays, the season of binging and purging and partying and celebrating. And it's also a time of some fear and trembling. And it's always been so in the Northern Hemisphere at this time. At the winter time, as the days grow cold, at least by Southern California standards, as the skies become cloudy and really beautiful this morning, as the days shorten, and we have some primordial sense of anxiety. It's more than seasonal affective disorder and whatever the biology is. There is a sense that as the days grow short, our anxieties build up, and there is an instinct that, well, maybe the fire will go out. Maybe the sun will sink and not rise again. Because the external world and the cycles and seasons of the sun are metaphors for our internal worlds, for our moods, our cycles of joy, of hope, and also of fear, of darkness, even of despair. It's very difficult and wonderful to be a human being, to know that the darkness comes and will come, and it's a natural part of life, and to hope and believe and have faith in the return of light, of warmth, of love, of the springtime to our world and to ourselves. These are the cycles of the seasons and the cycles of our own lives and moods. I've been writing that life cycle and peddling it as fast as I can this month. I went from the home on Thursday of a very dear friend who was diagnosed by an ER doc with a disease that has a median survival of 2 years. And this is always striking when it's a friend. It's even more striking when it's a friend who is younger. And it's impossible. How do we deal with anticipated loss and with the impotence of our words to make it all better, to take away the pain and fear of the person who is suffering, and to take away our own pain and fear? And the bottom line is, we can't. All we can do is to be there with each other and to say, I am here, and to accompany each other on our journeys through all of the cycles of life. I went from my friend's home directly to the hospital where my grandson Will was born and welcomed him into the world and held him for the first time in my arms for an hour and cooed and baby talked and sang and did all of those wonderful life-affirming things that are the other half of our human experience. The young are born, the old must die, and sometimes the young die too. And it is a dizzying, dizzying cycle of life that we all ride and that we all pedal. At the same time that our family welcomes this new life, the adults, and the adults are the great-grandparents, they are our parents, are leaving us. They are fading, they are dying, they are going away physically and sometimes mentally also. And that is terribly difficult to deal with. There is the real loss, there is the impending loss, and impending loss is not anything that we can prepay. We can't prepay our grief. All we can do is feel it, not deny it, not try to keep it away with the best of all possible worlds, but to know that there are people in our lives whose removal seems to be more than we can bear, and to understand that the other half of that grief and that loss is the blessing that they have been in our lives. And so we celebrate and we mourn all at the same time. And that's part of the genius of the season. We mourn and we celebrate. I know it's supposed to be a happy time, but it's because we are, in a sense, covering up some of the reality of this season. But it's there. What we do in this season is we make a joyful noise in our singing, in our laughter, in the laughter of children. We light a candle and candles instead of cursing the darkness. The candles of Hanukkah, the candles of Kwanzaa are all lights that are lit against the darkness. They do not deny fear and loss. They do not deny slavery and oppression and the fact that there are people who have at times wanted to extinguish the lives of the celebrants and the ancestors of the celebrants. That's all part, understood in these cycles of our lives and in these cycles of the seasons as we light our lights against the darkness. The theme is there heavily in Christmas also. From the Yule log that blazes its fire, to the lights on a Christmas tree, to the green evergreen that is a stubborn, resilient symbol of life and hope in the dark and in the cold winter of the seasons and those winter times of our souls that we also experience. There is something wonderful and defiant in the celebrations in December, because it is in December that the days grow short. It is in the beginning of winter that we say yes to spring with an act of real faith and courage. When I was young and traveling around Europe, and even when I was middle-aged and traveling around Europe, almost every walled city I visited had exactly the same story. It was sold as if it were historic fact, but it couldn't have happened in every walled city in Europe, because even marauders are not morons. But here's the story, because as in so many things in religion, it isn't about the facts, it's about the truths. And the story goes something like this. They had us surrounded and they were going to starve us out. Our supplies were running low and our oppressors were out there waiting to kill us, waiting for us to starve to death, waiting for us to surrender so that they could kill us. It looked really bad. And so we decided to take a chance, a clever gamble that could cost us everything, but it might gain us our lives. And so what we did was we decided to take our remaining food and have a party, a celebration. So we cooked up everything that was left. And we ate and we drank and we sang and we partied all night long. We built bonfires and burned every stick of furniture to show how much we had. And when morning came, we threw our leftovers over the parapets. And the marauders who were trying to kill us heard our song, saw our celebration, saw us seeming to waste food, and they became discouraged and depressed, thinking that we had enough to go on for years, and so they left us and we lived. Well, it probably didn't happen like that in every walled city in Europe, but it probably happened once. But it is exactly what we do in December. It is what Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Christmas essentially are. They are great, joyous celebrations of plentitude. Food and drink and presents and yes, even wretched excess, as a way of saying to the darkening skies, we're here, we still got it. We might be scared underneath, but we're singing a song. We're lighting candles. We're not cursing the darkness. We're saying yes because we believe that the spring will come again. I remember when time was much slower, when the cycles crept along, when simply algebra period in junior high school lasted years. Now the days pass quickly, the years pass quickly, decades pass quickly. Everything except certain political regimes seem to pass quickly. The young are born, the old die, the cycles just keep going. Life and death, light and dark, hope and despair cycle through all of our lives. And this is a season where we do not deny the pain, a season where we do not say there are no perils out there, where we do not say bad things can't happen, bad things aren't happening, but we say yes. We say yes to the spring in our hearts. Yes to the return of the seasons. Yes to the rebirth, the persistence of light and of life and of love in our own lives. It takes very little faith to have a party in the springtime. That's easy. It is when we have a party in the winter, right at the beginning of winter's long term, that we really show what our faith is in life and in ourselves. All this month, and hopefully well into the year, we will be celebrating, not drowning out all of the things in life that disturb us, because there's much that should disturb us. But we understand that when our own energy is low, when our own temperature has gone cold, that we come together to sense the warmth of others, to make a noise, to make light, to take our individual sparks and the candles symbolized in the candles that we light, and those individual sparks combining together become a beacon of hope and a beacon of inspiration. That is the star in the east that we follow. That is the pillar of fire that we follow. That is the light that draws us forward out of the darkness and out of the cold, with not simply a hope but a knowledge that the spring will come, that winter will not overcome us and our energy and our resolve to be together, to grow together, to make this world a better place for each other and for all our sisters and brothers across this shrinking and quickly spinning globe. We know that we don't escape the cycles of the seasons and of the sun. We know that we don't escape ultimately the fates of all of our sisters and brothers throughout the world. Famine, oppression, they are all our business. We cannot, along with Scrooge, wonder what our business is. It is the business of all mankind, of all humankind. Where there is hunger, where there is oppression, where there is despair, where there is darkness of the soul, we have the challenge to engage. Not as individuals to eliminate it all, that's too much grandiosity, but to do what we can to raise the temperature, to light the spark, to be a beacon of hope to each other and to a larger world, to be a light starting in here unto the nations. And it is a challenge that each and every person is up to, as long as we know that we are not alone, as long as we know that we share and we despair and we hope and we strive and we struggle and we fall and we rise again with the help of each other. And we do it by lighting candles, by singing songs, by sharing food. It is not accidental that the three holidays that I spoke of Christmas, of Hanukkah, of Kwanzaa, are essentially home celebrations. They are recognized in temples and in churches, but the real fire is in the home. The sanctification of the temple is the home. It is that dining room table where we gather to eat, to sing, where it is sanctified by the laughter of children and the light of hope that shines in their eyes. And that's perhaps our great challenge, to keep the light alive, to not let it go out, not simply symbolically, but in our own lives and in the lives of all those whom we love, to keep the music, to keep the light, to keep the laughter, to keep the celebrating, and to know that it is difficult as we move through all of the cycles of life. It is difficult to lose people whom we love and to move them from before our eyes to inside our hearts, but we understand the blessings of that, and we are reminded of those blessings as we welcome new life with one hand and we wave goodbye with another. Such is the world that we live on and in as it spins, and we spin with it, but we do not spin alone. We have each other, and that is enough.